Bibles out and follow along with me. And if you'd like to take notes, and take out a sheet of paper and a pencil and write these references down and think about these things further, study them when you get home. It's always an encouragement to be with each and every one of you. Before I start the lesson, I want to commend you for last week. I made the comment in my Sunday morning Bible class about the attendance on Sunday evening. And Sunday evening we had over 60, I counted. That's closing that gap. You're to be commended for that. I appreciate you coming back. Today, being the second Sunday of the month, I preach this morning and tonight, and this is a two-part lesson. And so I encourage you, I hope that gives you somewhat of an incentive to come back and be here this evening if you at all possibly can. This morning we're going to be talking about the value of your soul. I hear individuals from time to time, and maybe we have all felt the same notion, that I just don't know how valuable I am. Maybe I don't have anything to contribute. I don't feel good about myself in a lot of the work that may be taking place, or I just don't feel as important as perhaps other people feel like they are. We need to look at that, and when we have ideas about that, or when we have thoughts along those lines, we need to seriously look at the pages of the Bible and think about the value of our soul. I think sometimes we fail to think about it and to really realize what happened and what took place and what transpired so that we can have the forgiveness of our individual sins and ultimately be with God for all eternity in the joys of heaven when this life is over. I suggest to you that every single person this morning that's here is valuable. And I'll say further that every person that's not here is valuable in the sight of God. And there's some just very simple reasons that we can look at in the Bible and realize the value of our soul. And so again, this is a two-part lesson. I hope that you'll come back tonight and listen to the other reasons that we're going to look at as to why our soul is valuable. I appreciate Ethan doing the great job that he did in the scripture reading. He picked that reference out. And he picked the reference out relative to the value of our soul from the book of Matthew and book of Luke that it's stated. As we're going to look at this morning, a host of other passages. Many are the passages that talk about the value of the soul. And I appreciate him doing that. I want you to think about with me this morning for just a little while about the value of your soul. And I don't want you to see this sermon for everyone else. I don't want you to look at it and say, well, everyone else is valuable but me. We're putting together a new directory, and I hope it'll be a directory that each person can be proud of and be a part of. And I know Greg has put a lot of work into that, and we appreciate him for the work that he's put into that directory. Every person at Mill Street plays a vital part in the work that goes on here. You might look at it and say, well, you know what, I don't play a part in it. Maybe you do and you don't realize it. Or maybe the case is that you can contribute more than what you're doing. And that ought to get the gumption in us to always want to do more and to put our hand to the good work here. But I want to suggest to you, first of all, that your soul is so valued that if you gain the whole world, you'd get cheated. Is that not what was just read in our hearing just a moment ago? Look, if you will, again in Matthew the 16th chapter and verse 26. Jesus said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" That's the question. Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? A number of years ago, there was a show that came on where they set out to value, give an estimate of all of Earth's possessions. You might want to Google that sometime. What is the Earth worth, valued at? I want you to think of that. And think of the number that is set before you. And Jesus is saying, if you gain the whole world, and you lose your soul, what did it profit you? And then the other question, what would you give in exchange for your soul? And so I suggest to you that your soul is so valuable that if you were to gain all of the world and lose your soul, you'd get cheated. Our president-elect is worth a lot of money. Someone's recently suggested that he had stated that he wouldn't take a paycheck when he got into office. I don't know if that's the case or not. But I suggest to you that if you were estimated to be more valuable than all of his possessions and all of his wealth, or Bill Gates, or the Koch brothers, or whoever you want to name, it would profit you nothing come the judgment day. And I hope that we can see that. When you look at other passages in the Bible, like Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, where that's really a parallel to Matthew 16, 26, or 1 Timothy chapter 6 and then verse 17, that the rich trust not in uncertain riches. Don't be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Those things are going to pass away. Or when the Lord taught in Luke chapter 12 and in verse 15, beware and take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. How often do we get busy about trying to get more and more and more and more? I suggest that a lot of yard sales are filled with things that individuals just thought that they could not live without. We're all guilty of that, no doubt. That we get, I just have to have that. And it's okay to have things if we keep them in their proper place. And we don't allow those things to get us to divert our attention from things that are more noble and higher. 2 Corinthians 4:18 is a good passage that talks about temporal and eternal things. And Colossians chapter 3 talks about that. If you then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2. But I also want to suggest to you that your soul is so valuable. And there's a lot you could put on the screen. But your soul is so valuable that heaven emptied the perfect sacrifice. The whole purpose to God's scheme to redeem mankind was just that, the redemption of your soul and my soul and the soul of everyone else. God could have done a number of things, anything that He wanted to do, but this is the plan that He devised from before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 10 and 11 talks about that. A perfect sacrifice was offered. A sacrifice that you could not give for your sins. And I could not give for my sins. We know that the Bible says without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22. The book of Hebrews makes it abundantly clear that the blood of goats and bulls and those sacrifices under the Old Testament dispensation could not take away sins. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the one that came down from the Father out of heaven. John 6, 35. In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 1, 1 through 5. And over and over and over the Bible talks about that. But Jesus, when He had offered that sacrifice once for all, that perfect sacrifice, sat down at the right hand of God, Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 12. Again, your soul is so valuable that Jesus left the glories of heaven to come and die on the rugged cross. Isn't it a shame that so many people today say, oh, I know that. I know He did that. Thanks, but no thanks. Or if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. And you leave the doors this morning having not obeyed the gospel of Christ. In essence, that's what you're saying. Thanks but no thanks. Don't do that. In essence, you're giving something else in exchange for your soul. You're giving something in exchange for your soul. Don't get cheated. Your soul is so valuable that Jesus willingly died that you might live. He wasn't forced to the cross. That was the Father's plan. But He willingly died. In Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20, turn to that passage and notice what Paul writes to the churches of Galatia. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you see yourself in that passage? If not, you ought to. He willingly died that you might live. I like the example of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8th chapter. Here was a religiously minded person, a Bible reader, who went to Jerusalem and was on his way home, went there to worship, was returning home, sitting in his chair, reading from the Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip was told by the Holy Spirit to go and join thyself to this chariot, and he ran there. And he asked him the question, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Acts 8, verse 31. And he desired Philip to come up and to sit with him. The place where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. Maybe several of you have watched an animal executed so that its meat could be eaten. Those things are given to us to eat. I've observed, as Nathan has, loaded cattle to take to the slaughterhouse. One of the memories I had growing up is several of my family and the men from out the creek where I grew up would gather together, and it would be cold outside, and they would kindle a fire under a big pot of hot boiling water, and they would slaughter a hog and cut it up. That hog had no idea what was in store. Those animals that Nathan hauls off to the slaughterhouse, the butcher shop, has no idea what's in store. And the Bible uses that to picture the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. That like a lamb is dumb before a shear, so opened he not his mouth. Again, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He knew what was going to happen. The Lord did. But yet he willingly did that. You need to think about the value of your soul. Your soul is so valuable that He willingly died that you might live. Have life more abundantly. Have eternal life when this life is over. That's how valuable you are. What reason could you give this morning for not obeying the gospel? Those who are here are not Christians. Those that are here backslidden and falling back into the ways of the world. God puts great emphasis on the value of your soul, and you ought to as well. And to acknowledge these things. Your soul is so valuable that Jesus became poor that you might be rich. I'm not talking about earthly wealth. We sing the hymn sometimes, earthly wealth and fame may never come to me. But a palace fair that I cannot see now with the physical eyes anyway. We sing about, I have a mansion, don't we? How beautiful heaven must be, or heaven holds all to me, or I need no mansion here below, and the list goes on and on and on. Jesus became poor that you might be rich. Here's a passage that talks about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. Did you notice that? Though He was rich, He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. That's how valuable your soul is. Now, Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. John 17, verse 5. I don't know what heaven holds. I don't know what all Jesus gave up in order to come here. But I know that He willingly did that, so that we can be rich. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 talks about the fact that we have been redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver and gold from our vain conversation and so forth and traditions, but with the precious blood of Christ. Think about that. We just celebrated Veterans Day. And in memory of all those who have served both in wartime and peacetime, defenders of our nation against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I don't know how many in the course of the battles that this country have fought did not make it home. And we esteem their shed blood as something valuable, don't we? A sacrifice that was made so that we can do what we're doing this morning. We're recipients of that sacrifice. Beneficiaries of that sacrifice. Jesus spilled His blood on the cross so that we can do what we're doing this morning. And be in the greatest institution never known to man, and that is the church that was purchased with His own blood. Acts 20, verse 28. The Bible has a lot to say about His blood. And folks, if we esteem the blood that men has shed in battles of times gone by, of how much more valuable should we esteem His blood that died on the cross for our soul? Your soul is so valuable that He did that for you. Your soul is so valuable that the flock is left to bring you home. I don't think we think about that often. I think sometimes that individuals obey the gospel of Christ and then they began to get weak and they fall away, and a lot of times with very few effort or very little effort made on behalf of God's family to restore one. And I think that's a tell of a lot of places, that certainly where I've been. I want you to think about individuals over the course of the time that you have been going here that obeyed the gospel of Christ and fell away. More than one or two or three. Now let me ask you this. What type of effort has been done to regain those? To win them back? Luke chapter 15 is a good chapter that points us to the value of the soul of individuals when that which is lost is found. Three different illustrations are used in this chapter to get that point across. Luke 15, 1 through 7, then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when one cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, For I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Again, what efforts do we make to restore individuals when they get weak and fall away? I suggest to you that your soul is so valuable that when you leave the flock, that all those who need no repentance are left so that you can be restored. That is, we put effort into that and try to gain them back to a right relationship with the Lord. Galatians 6 verses 1 and 2 talks about that. Restoring such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. James 5, 19 and 20 talks about restoring individuals who have fallen. And by the way, it's a lot easier to do that when you do it speedily than it is to just wait and wait and wait. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one converted, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I suggest to you that if there's, and I give this challenge, we need to work on it. If there's individuals who have fallen from here, we need to make a point to try to restore them. Well, we've already tried. Try again. They're still your brother or sister. Don't count them as an enemy, but admonish them as a brother. Try to win them home for the Lord. Put some effort into that. I don't know all the ones that you do. I haven't been here as long as you. But I'm willing to go out and to try to regain those who have fallen away. Your soul is so valuable that angels in heaven rejoice when you repent. We just read that. Luke 15 talks about that. And in verse 10, it's mentioned again. Hopefully we get the point. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. And you can read verses 11 through 32, that great story that the Lord gave concerning the prodigal son. Separated himself from his father, took his portion of the inheritance, and with wasteful living, squandered it. Eventually came to his senses and said, I know what I'll do. I'll go back home and I'll tell my father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. He realized being with the father is a lot better off than where he's at. And so he returned home. We have those in the audience this morning who have left the father. Separate yourself from the father. I want to encourage you to come home. I love that invitation hymn we sing from time to time. Come home. Think about that. Your soul is so valuable that, again, if you do that, there will be joy in the presence of the angels of God because of your response to the gospel. Your soul is valuable. And this is how you become a Christian. I give that to you every sermon I preach. I hope that you know each one of those and that you know it well and that you can turn to the book, chapter, and verse where that can be found. Here in the Gospel, Romans 10, 17, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, John 8, 24. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3 and then verse 19. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And Romans 10 and verse 10. And being immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. All things are ready. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready to do what is necessary to become a child of God and live for Him all the days of your life that heaven will be your eternal home? Or your condition is that you've fallen away and you've turned your back on the Lord and you want to make things right. You have that opportunity to repent of those things, make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness Don't delay. Come forward right now.